Today is Saturday. It's the 9th of February, 2019. So today, this is kind of the start of the second group joining for the Metta Meditation Retreat. And so Sayadaw will give a talk. Last night, when opening this retreat, during the opening ceremony, Sayadaw was explaining the nature of metta, loving kindness, and he also gave you some basic instructions for the metta practice. So today, Sayadaw will continue to give basic instructions and explanations in regard to the metta practice. Metta, what we call metta, is the wish for the welfare and happiness of all living beings, wishing them that in every regard of their life, everything goes well. This is metta, loving kindness. Sayadaw repeats again, metta, this is the wish that living beings be happy and well, that everything in their lives is complete. We must understand that love and metta are different. In worldly terms, sometimes people use the word metta in regard to love, worldly love. However, the nature of metta and worldly love is not the same. So metta, as Sayadaw has said, this is the wish, the heartfelt wish for all beings to be happy and well, wishing them, it's a benevolent attitude towards all beings. But love, worldly love, this comes along with wanting, with craving, with lust or attachment. So metta and worldly love, they differ. Metta has, when there is metta, there is no attachment. So we can say it is detachment. Love comes along with attachment, with wanting, craving, or lust.
Metta.
The nature of metta is peaceful and cool. The nature of love is burning and hot, as there is craving, attachment, and so on. Metta means freedom. Love is attachment, bondage. And when there is metta, there is also forgiveness. With love, there is no forgiveness. So with metta, there is freedom. Love, that's bondage or imprisonment. In the Metta Sutta, the Discourse on Loving Kindness, it is said that metta is like the love of a mother for her child. A mother wishes for her sons and daughters, for her children, that they be happy, that everything in their lives goes well. And likewise, metta wishes that living beings be happy and that everything in their lives goes well. A mother wishes for her sons and daughters that they have enough food, that everything is complete in regard to food. And likewise, with metta, one wishes that every living being has enough appropriate food. A mother wishes for her sons and daughters that they have appropriate clothes to wear, suitable clothes, and likewise, metta wishes that all living beings have suitable clothes to wear. A mother wishes for her daughters and sons that they have a good and suitable place to live and that they can live happily. Likewise, metta wishes that all living beings have a suitable place to live and that they can live happily. The mother wishes for her daughters and sons that they be healthy, happy and well, that they be free from any dangers and harm. And likewise, metta wishes that all beings be healthy, happy and well, that they are free from danger and harm. A mother wishes for her daughters and sons that they can have a good education and that they are doing well at their work with their business. And likewise, metta wishes that living beings can have a good education, higher education, and that they are doing well in their work or in their business. A mother wishes for her children that they can live happily and that everything in their lives goes smoothly. Likewise, metta wishes that living beings can live happily and that everything in their lives goes well. Metta makes the heart peaceful and cool. So metta makes both the body and mind cool and peaceful. So that metta meditators understand well the nature of metta, Sayadaw uses the illustration of an aircon. So an aircon is able to produce coolness, cold. Likewise, metta produces coolness, peacefulness. So out in the world, when it is hot and when our body is getting hot, when the room is getting hot, then we turn on the aircon. So when the aircon is turned on, then the heat that is experienced in the body, but also the heat in the room or the heat in the house, then with the aircon on, gradually the heat will be reduced and one will feel the coolness in one's body or in the room or in the house. So that's why when we feel hot in the body, when a room is hot, then we turn on the aircon. If one doesn't turn on the aircon, and if it is really hot, then that can lead to feeling not well, or one can get sick from the heat It can even lead to death. The aircon is able to produce coolness. However, as soon as the aircon is turned on, one cannot really feel yet the coolness. Only after some time, after turning on the aircon, only then will one be able to feel the coolness. And so then, when one can experience the coolness, also the heat in the body will be reduced, and gradually one will feel the coolness in one's body. And then when one feels the coolness in the body, then also one feels the coolness in the mind, one feels happy and peaceful. Let's say when the aircon has been turned on for 2 hours, 3 hours, or 4 hours, then all the heat is gone, and so the heat in the body, one does no longer experience the heat in the body, but the body feels cool and refreshed, and as a result, one feels also peaceful and happy in the mind. And likewise, the heat in the room or in the house has gone, and so the room and the house feel cool and fresh. So, people, living beings, when they are overcome by the defilements, such as lobha, wanting, greed, dosa, aversion, or worries in the mind, these defilements are compared to a fire burning in the heart, in the mind. So at such a time, one should turn on the aircon, the metta aircon. So, please remember that when your body and mind is burning with the fire of the defilements, when it is overcome with worries or negative thoughts, then you should cultivate loving-kindness, metta. It's like turning on the metta aircon. So if at such a time when the mind is overcome with the burning fires of the defilements, like worries or depression, dejection, so that makes one feel uncomfortable, it's unpleasant, one suffers on account of these defilements, it also can lead to physical unpleasant experiences. One can get sick on account of that. Or at the worst, when one is caught in such negative thoughts or depression, it can also lead to suicide. That's why in such moments one should turn on the metta aircon. So then, when the metta aircon is turned on, then the burning fires of the defilements, the kilesas, the burning fires of the worries or the mental stress will disappear. And so when they have disappeared, both body and mind calm down, feel cool, peaceful and happy. At the beginning of one's metta meditation practice, the cool, refreshing and peaceful nature of metta is not immediately obvious or apparent. But after some time of practicing metta, of cultivating loving kindness, then gradually one can experience that the body and mind become calm, cool, and peaceful. So the longer one cultivates metta, the more this cool, peaceful, and happy nature of metta will become apparent. Some meditators in their interviews, they report to Sayadaw that after 1 or 2 days of cultivating metta, they feel that they just are reciting the metta phrases. They say that they do not really experience the nature of metta as cool, refreshing, or peaceful. So then Sayadaw tells these meditators that at the beginning this can be like this, that their concentration, samadhi based on the metta practice, is not yet established, not yet deep. So he encourages the meditators to continue with their metta practice, and as their practice deepens, then the metta samadhi, concentration based on the metta practice, will deepen, and with that the meditators then will be able to experience the coolness or the peacefulness of metta. And then, when these meditators continue their practice in this way, then later on in their interviews, they report to Sayadaw that, yes, by then, they are able to experience the cool and peaceful nature of metta. Last year, in November, Sayadaw was teaching a metta retreat in the Blue Mountains in Australia. It was a 7-day metta retreat. And in this retreat, he also talked or used this example of the air conditioning. And on the 6th day of that metta retreat, one meditator reported to Sayadaw in the interview that he could experience the coolness of metta, saying that it was really like turning on the aircon. And the meditator continued to say that an aircon can make the body feel cool and refreshed, but he said that the metta does not only make the body feel cool and refreshed, but that the metta also makes the mind, the heart, feel cool, fresh, and peaceful. And the meditator continued to say that an aircon is able to produce coolness in a limited range, just around where the air conditioning is, but that metta is able to the nature of metta, that the coolness, the peacefulness of metta has no limits. It spreads everywhere. It's boundless. And this meditator said that the experience of metta, first of all, he felt the coolness, the freshness in his body, in his mind, but then from there it was like spreading out, radiating, and to him it felt as the metta was enveloping the whole world. So then Sayadaw told the meditator that the metta aparimana has this quality of having no limits, that it is boundless. So among the meditators of that retreat, his metta meditation was the best or the deepest, the most profound. So in this way, we can understand that metta, loving kindness, is able to make one really peaceful, calm. So, depending on the strength and power of our metta, then living beings in the surroundings will benefit from our metta. So the first step is that metta, when we cultivate metta, first of all, it makes us feel peaceful and happy. And then, when our metta is strong, then it will also affect people living near us, like our family members or teachers, students. They will experience the peacefulness and coolness of our metta. And with more practice, and when our metta becomes even stronger and more powerful, then other people, other beings will benefit from it, like neighbors or all the beings living in the town where we live. So on account of our metta, they will experience peacefulness, coolness in both body and mind. So, this is the nature of metta. When our metta is really strong and powerful, then it makes other beings in the environment where we are, it makes other beings also feel peaceful and cool in both body and mind. Now Sayadaw will relate an example, a story that illustrates how the power of a person's metta has far-reaching effects, how other beings benefit from that. So it's the story of the king Vesantara. So the Buddha to be, the Bodhisattva, in one of the previous existences of the Buddha, he was the king Vesantara. So this king had a very good heart and he practiced a lot of generosity. So he was offering things, he was supporting people and living beings. So he was the king of Jesotara country in the Midia division. And the king, he possessed a white elephant. So possessing a white elephant was something very auspicious. So possessing this white elephant, it meant that the seasons or that the climate was regular, that there was enough rain, enough sunshine, etc. And the power of this white elephant made sure that the farmers had no problems with their work. And also for the business people, owners of shops, people selling things, they always had good business. And on account of the white elephant's power, the Jetutara country was free from danger. And on account of the power of the white elephant, the people living in the country, they always had enough food, enough clothes, and a place to live. So next to the Videha district, there was the district of Kalinga, and in Kalinga they experienced a drought. So because of the drought, they could not plant anything. And that's why food was getting scarce. And because they did not have enough food, people got sick. They experienced a lot of suffering. And so people started to plunder things. Theft was happening. And a minister of Kalinga, who was not a virtuous man, so he was talking badly about the king Visantara. Sorry, I was mistaken. So that minister was talking badly about the king and the king's family. accusing the king and his family that they were not virtuous people, that they were not keeping the precepts. So saying that the king was not keeping his precepts, that he was not keeping the Uposatha precepts on Uposatha days. And so accusing the king because he was not keeping the precepts, that this was the cause for the drought. So then the king called his ministers and they had a meeting. Sorry, it was a meeting of the minister of the Kalinga country. So at that meeting, they said, what can we do that we will get rain? And then somebody said, King Vesantara, he has a white elephant, and if we would be in possession of this white elephant, then there surely would be rain. So we should go and ask the king Vesantara for his white elephant. Saying that if we could get this white elephant, if the white elephant would come to the Kalinga country district, then we would get rainfall, then the farmers could plant rice, then they could harvest rice, then people would get enough food, and people could live happily again. So they thought that this was a good idea, and so they appointed a minister to go to King Vesantara and ask for the white elephant. So with that, one minister of the Kalinga country went to King Vesantara and asked for the white elephant. So the minister told King Vesantara that they were experiencing a drought, and that's why they ask for the white elephant. If they had the white elephant, then it would rain again, then everything would be fine for the people there. So then they would be relieved from their suffering. And so the minister said, please have compassion with us. Please give us the white elephant. And King Vesantara had compassion with the minister and the people of Kalinga. And so he freely offered them the white elephant. So then, with that offering, they had rain in the Kalinga country, and with that, everything was okay. People became happy. However, the people in the Chaituttara country, Vesantara's country, they were not happy that the king decided by himself to give away the white elephant. They were not happy that he didn't ask the people. So then the people went to the streets, demonstrated, and they asked that King Vesantara leave the country. And King Vesantara listened to the request of the people and he left the country. So then he left the country, went into the forest, taking along his wife, Madi, and his two children. So they went into a remote area at the outskirts of the district, of the country, to a forest called Vingaba. So, settling there, in that forest, Vingaba, King Vesantara, the Bodhisattva, the Buddha to be, just practiced metta meditation. So, cultivating loving kindness, then first of all, he experienced the coolness, the peacefulness in his own body and mind. And then as a second step, it was his wife and his children who experienced peacefulness and coolness in their body and mind. And King Vesantara continued to cultivate loving kindness, and as his metta was getting stronger, so then all the beings living in that forest, in that on that hill, all the beings experienced the coolness and peacefulness in their body and mind on account of King Vesantara's strong metta. So this illustrates that on account of one person's metta, of our metta, other beings can experience also a peacefulness, coolness in both body and mind.
Good thing, good thing.
So cultivating metta, developing loving kindness, means that we cultivate loving kindness, a benevolent attitude in our heart and mind. It's the repeated cultivation of metta in ourselves. This is what we call metta meditation or metta bhavana. When we cultivate metta, develop loving kindness, there are two ways of practicing it. The first way, the first method, is to cultivate metta just for the sake of cultivating the loving kindness. Then the second way, or the second method, is to cultivate metta, to develop loving kindness, in order to attain the jhanas, the absorptions. So the first way, the first method, which is just cultivating loving kindness for the sake of cultivating this quality, so this can be done, for example, with metta chanting. So when we cultivate metta in this way, this first method of simply cultivating loving-kindness, benevolence, so then, like with metta chanting, so practicing this method in this way, there are no specific points that we need to follow, or there is nothing that we need to refrain from. We just can cultivate in any way. However, when we cultivate metta in order to attain the jhana, the absorptions, then there are different points that we need to be aware of, things that we should follow and things that we should refrain from. So, cultivating metta in order to attain the jhana, then a meditator should take a bath, take a shower, and then put on clean, not smelly clothes. And then one should cut all attachments, or one could cut all every kind of bondage as much as possible. Then one should take up the precepts, either the 5 precepts, 8 precepts, or the 9 precepts. And after that, one should go to a quiet, calm place. And then one can start cultivating metta. When cultivating metta, one should use for the metta phrases, one should use a language that one understands well, one's mother language. Why? So in this way, the metta samadhi, concentration based on the metta practice, will develop quickly. When one uses a language one does not understand or with which one is not familiar, yes, then it's very difficult to connect to that metta feeling. However, when one uses a language one understands well, when one really knows the meaning of these words, then metta will arise quickly. One will quickly connect to this quality of loving kindness. When repeating the metta wishes, one should not choose a long sentence or not one with many words, but the metta wish, the phrase, should be rather short, with few words. When one uses long sentences or a sentence with many words, then it will take a rather long time for metta to come in contact with that quality of metta. However, with a short wish consisting of few words, in this way to connect with the quality of metta is much faster. So that's why if you want to deepen your metta samadhi, concentration based on metta, and if you want to really connect to the quality of metta, then use a short sentence, a metta phrase consisting of a few words. When you cultivate metta, do not do it superficially and lightly, but do it carefully and attentively. If you cultivate metta in a superficial way, then it takes a long time to establish the metta samadhi and to connect to the metta feeling. However, when your metta wish is short, then it will not take much time to establish the metta samadhi and to connect to the quality of metta. Another point to be careful of is when you cultivate metta for a specific person, you really should wish this person to be healthy, happy, and peaceful. So you should really mean it, connecting to the meaning of the words. So, cultivating metta for a specific person in this way, then it may happen that the mental image of this person appears in your mind. It may happen that no mental image appears in your mind. That's not the main point. So if there is no mental image of this person in the mind, there is no need to force yourself to create a mental image of the person. So whether there is a mental image or not, just leave that as it is, but make sure that you continuously cultivate this metta wish for the other person. So in the scriptures, it is explained that when cultivating metta for another person, one should simply direct one's heart, one's mind towards that person and wish this person to be well, happy and peaceful. It doesn't say in the scriptures that one needs to create a mental image of the person. So that's why with the cultivation of metta, it's not the main point to have a mental image of this person or to create a mental image of this person, but the main point is to repeatedly cultivate this benevolent wish for the other person, to wish him or her to really be happy and well. And now Sayadaw will explain how to systematically proceed with the metta practice. First of all, we should cultivate metta, loving kindness, for ourselves. Then the second category is cultivating metta for a respected person, a person we respect or admire or a benefactor. The third category is a person we feel very close to or a good friend. The fourth category is a neutral person, a person we neither love nor hate. And then the fifth category are persons we hate. And then the sixth category is cultivating metta for all living beings. So in this way, there are six categories of people for whom we can cultivate metta. However, now, in the first few days, we will cultivate metta for ourselves and also for a respected person. So let's say if you sit for 1 hour, then for the first 30 minutes, cultivate metta for yourself. So cultivating metta for yourself, wish yourself May I be well, happy, and peaceful. May I be well, happy, and peaceful. May I be well, happy, and peaceful. So in this way, uninterruptedly cultivating loving kindness for yourself without a break, without stopping. And then in the second 30 minutes of your sit, cultivate loving kindness for the respected person, for your benefactor, wishing, may my benefactor be well, happy, and peaceful. May my benefactor be well, happy, and peaceful. And also here, trying to cultivate it continuously, without a break, without stopping. And then cultivating metta in your heart and mind during the walking meditation. Again, if you do 1 hour walking meditation, for the first 30 minutes, cultivate metta for yourself, and the second 30 minutes, cultivate metta for the respected person or the benefactor. And then throughout the day, in all the different general activities, cultivate metta for all living beings. So, for the yogis who have just started this retreat, the metta practice, so this is enough information, enough instructions. In the days to come, Sayadaw, we will give more instructions and more explanations. So may all of you, by continuing your metta practice, be able to cultivate loving-kindness and become full or complete with the quality of metta, with loving-kindness. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.